He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, June 7th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today, giving him a well-deserved day off from the radio. Of course, he'll have his eyes on the markets and be checking in periodically, as he always does. But as we kick off what is already shaping up to be a pretty interesting day in the market with some news from Target that we'll get to here in a moment. Of course, we had a topsy-turvy Monday. Major averages finished on a positive note. They had some pretty large gains early when we were on the recording the show yesterday morning. And they gave some of those back. Of course, as we look at the markets now, we've got pretty much negative across the equity markets. The Dow is down 0.53% or 172 points currently. S&P 500 is down about 48 basis points, about the same, down 19 to 4,102. NASDAQ just below 12,000, down a little more than 0.5%. Gold actually up today 0.5% at 1850. Crude oil up as kind of as we've seen a lot of lately, up 1.23%, just a tick under $120 a barrel. And Bitcoin giving back pretty much all the gains that it had yesterday when it got up to about 31,000. It's really had a tough time getting over that 30,000 mark, but it's currently down right at about 1,900, down 6% to 29,561. But again, welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And, you know, we've got, of course, you know, it's Tuesday, June 7th edition. And we look at, after a strong start, like I said, after a strong start yesterday, markets finished up fractionally, and they're pretty much giving all that back this morning, with the majority of the averages being down roughly about 0.5% today. And you know, the narrative continues to revolve around inflation, whether it's, you know, financial news, political news, your local news. You know, inflation, high fuel prices are pretty much you know, all the stories that we see or read, at least here locally, and I would imagine that you know, same thing for all of our listeners around the country and internationally as well. So the trick is really, what are those kind of downstream effects on company earnings and just the consumer's will to accept those higher prices and continue spending in some form or fashion. And we kind of got another shot across the bow from Target again, as you all will likely remember. I know our Minneapolis listeners, know in terms of Target's huge kind of 20%+ decline when their earnings came out last May or this past May, and kind of right on the heels of Target and Walmart, kind of shocked the markets. And just in terms of their, in their earnings calls, they essentially kind of sounded surprised that their margins decreased in the manner that they did. And then, in June, of course, Target's kind of shocking us a little bit more. Not really shocking us, but, kind of at least announcing what we kind of a lot of us expected in terms of. Announced that they're basically revising their margins down compared to where they had them and where they expected, and the kind of the tone that they used was a bit surprising in terms of they're taking essentially aggressive action to kind of right size their inventory. They expect to, apparently things are just not going off the shelves at the moment. So they're kind of taking it from both ends where their costs are going up. And then also they're not moving the inventory that they've kind of stacked up in the stores. So they avoided some of those supply chain issues, have been able to get some things on the shelves. But at this point, you know, some of those things are not moving. So they're going to take additional steps and markdown to kind of help remove the excess inventory. They're also canceling some orders for future inventory, which is, you know, a pretty kind of a bit shocking in this environment where, you know, it's been tough to get goods to put on the. In this instance, they're kind of pulling back. They specifically mentioned, as we've kind of hit homed and continued to benefit from our holdings in the energy patch, but they've announcing, you know, essentially the pricing actions. They're going to take some pricing actions to address the impact of unusually high transportation and fuel costs. So that's going to translate into higher prices at the so they're going to be marking down some inventory they have. I guess they're going to be increasing some prices of things that they get in or have been selling. So it's kind of certainly a mixed bag from their perspective in terms of how they're going to deal with this. And they're a very large large retailer, obviously, one of the top 10 employers in America. Looking at them as a barometer of the, certainly of at least the retail market, but also, the barometer to the market as a whole. Anytime you're in there announcing essentially their operating margins, gonna range, between, around 2% for Q2. The expectation or the consensus of the market was 6.5%. So that's quite a decrease from what the market expected. And of course, the stock's down 3.75% today. I believe it was down double digits at one point, or a little, maybe just under that, around 9% or so when they first announced it pre-market today. So just a big, kind of a big hit and kind of a, an example of what we've been talking about in terms of, retailers, whether it's Target, Walmart, Amazons of the world, your large retailers, warning in terms of, how that's going to affect their earnings. Of course, as their margins decrease, that's going to hurt their earnings per share. And you translate that into S&P 500 earnings expectations that Bill does in the newsletter on a weekly basis, right? If there's more companies out there beginning to reduce those earnings expectations or estimates, well, then the analyst, the street's going to have to need to revise their earnings expectations down, which that coupled with contraction in the PE ratios that we've already seen from roughly 23 to 17 to 16-ish range, those two things combined result in a future S&P price target lower, certainly much lower than the street had at the beginning of the year, and still, frankly, much lower than the average that a lot of the big banks, bigger analyst investment firms have at the moment. So it's just when you don't want to take one piece of information, right, from one business and project it to the whole market. But when it's a retailer like Target, when we've seen this information in light of higher fuel prices everywhere else, then it makes sense that you can kind of extrapolate this to other pieces of the market, certainly the retail market. And even further and beyond, because from a fuel standpoint, and we'll actually hit some of this in the got a piece to hit kind of in the probably in about the third segment on in terms of energy outlook, kind of what's keeping what we expect to kind of keep those prices elevated for a period of time. Those prices are kind of affect, as we've mentioned, affect everything we do in our lives, whether it's what we're buying, the stores that are selling us stuff, what we're doing traveling-wise on a daily basis, getting to work versus work from home. So we'll get we've got some info to get into that in the second half of the show, but. Of course, we're just getting started this morning, and when we return, we'll kind of look at some global economic news. We've got consumer spending that came out at the end of the day yesterday, and stick around. We'll be right back with the Best Stocks Now. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour with your host, Barry Kite, sitting in for our captain, Mr. Bill Gunderson, today. It looks like the markets are still still roughly about where we started the show. I guess that's a good thing, right? We've got S&P down roughly about 0.56% or 23%. Down 23 points today. They're just under that 4,100 level at 4,098. NASDAQ remains just under the 12,000 mark at 11,997. Down about 0.5, right at 0.5% today. And the Dow's, you know, kind of roughly all of them are in line today. Dow's down about 0.6% or 193 points to 32,734. And big news, kind of getting the market moving this morning was the Target story in terms of them reducing some of their margin expectations going forward pretty dramatically. Moved them down to about the 2% range from the 6% range. So we're talking, you know, roughly a 66% decline that they're expecting in margins for the second quarter, and they actually kind of on a positive note, they expect things to kind of get back to normal in the second half of the year. I'm not exactly sure what catalyst that is giving them those thoughts. You know, my guess is just operationally they expect to make some changes. And who knows, maybe increase some prices on some certain things for us at the store and try to gain back some of that margin that they've lost up to this point. But, you know, it's been certainly been a mixed bag with the retailers. You know, your large retailers, Targets, Walmarts, Amazons of the world have been warning, while other retailers that we were kind of used to lagging to a certain degree have begun, have actually yet to kind of alert us to these margin contractions. Macy's being an example a few weeks back, came out with a good report and didn't seem too worried about cost or future margin reductions. Doesn't mean that we won't see that here on the heels of Target's announcement. Of course, you know, Academy Sports, name we've owned in the past, ASO. They actually they beat on revenue. They announced this morning. Beat on revenue, their net sales consensus, they kind of increased those by about $200 million. One kind of note that was a little concerning was the comparable sales. Their comparable sales of were down 7% year over year. So of course, that, you know, when people were getting outside during COVID, right there, it was about the time we owned them. Sales were going great, right? Everyone wanted to be outside. It's contracted by about 7% since. And they kind of adjusted their earnings a bit, kind of made it a wider you know, earnings kind of estimate, but kept the top line, reduced the bottom line, and kept the top line the same. So they moved their earnings adjustments between for the year. It's $6.55 a share. To $7.25 a share, and that was, you know, that bottom line was $6.70 a share. So they moved that down 15 cents and kept the top line estimate at the on the high end. So that kind of shows us that they are preparing at least a little bit for some contractions from an earnings standpoint. The main thing that's kind of kept things afloat, really, or all of us, has the American consumer, and consumer spending numbers came out yesterday from Bank of America. They climbed 9% in May, and so it was another one of these kind of mixed bag reports. Of course, 9% a pretty good increase year over year from May. The difference obviously is what we're spending it on and how we're spending it. Credit card spending gained 16% year over year, while debit card spending rose 4%. So as you can see, credit is growing. And of course there's only, there's a limit to how much credit card spending, how much room folks have to make those purchases. So, that's a little bit of a concerning sign, just because things they spend a day, certainly on a credit card, that's going to inhibit ability to spend on a go forward basis. As you can imagine, with gas prices, national average, I think above five, or getting close to five, I saw something where I think 10 states out of 10 out of 50 states are above $5. Georgia, you guys are at the lowest. You have the cheapest gas at this point. I think it's around, I want to say 4.26. There's three other states that are pennies away from being over $5. So those 10 that are over $5 now will have, will have some company here shortly, I would imagine. And prices have risen. I think it's the last month, I think prices have gone up every day but one from a national average standpoint. So as you can imagine, when they're looking at the consumer spending data, gasoline spending as a share of total card spending jumped to 7.8% for the week, ending May 28th. So, that was compares to just 6.4%, in February. So, as you can see, prices at the pump are taking more of American spending power, and that's also projected that internationally as well. I mean, it's taking more of, the world's spending power. So in terms of, the consumer going forward, Bank of America, their senior economist, David Tensley, he's essentially mentioning that inflation is challenging households' purchasing power. And of course, right now, really the main thing folks are spending on is travel and entertainment. And part of that, of course, is being gasoline. So they're cautiously optimistic on the consumer going forward, but, certainly some future purchasing power that's being taken away, for future purchases. In some international, quick note on the international news, I know Bill hit it yesterday. Boris Johnson will be with us for a little bit longer, so he passed his no confidence vote. Of course, it was interesting that the folks that wanted to oust him from his own party was actually greater than those that voted against Theresa May a few years ago. So as you can see, not only was it Partygate, but in reality, it's really increases in inflation there that are also probably driving a lot of that need to want to change and make a change, and folks want to make a change around the world. But when we come back, we'll kind of hit in the second half, I'll hit some reasons why these energy prices are likely here to stay and what we can do to kind of position our portfolio to benefit from those. Welcome back here to the second half of the Tuesday, June 7th edition of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, handling the relief captain duties for Bill today. Well, the market's kind of turned around on the break. We now have the S&P 500 barely, just treading water. They're up, 0.04%, so basically flat on the day. We've got the NASDAQ at up now 0.2%, so about a 60 basis turnaround from when we started the last segment. And the Dow still negative, barely at down 0.1%, down 32 points at the moment. So we've got the NASDAQ back up above 12,000 at 12,085. S&P 500 back above that 4,100 mark at 4,124. So, not sure what the big change was there, but we'll take a look at that at the break between third and fourth segment. But the main thing is want to get back to kind of the oil story. So as you know, in our portfolios, have been talking, we've have a oversized outweighed. Portion of commodity names or companies that are tied to a particular commodity, oil, for example, natural gas, liquid natural gas, as we've mentioned, fertilizer companies, so for Nutrien, NTR, and CF Industries, which we've written about in the past. Of course, we've discussed Equinor on the show. EQNR is the symbol there. That's our most recent article that came out on Seeking Alpha last week. And anytime you hold a portfolio that has a handful of or outweighted companies towards commodities, right? You're inherently they tend to be a bit more volatile, just because their price, right, is ultimately usually based on some underlying commodity. So, what we look for there, certainly when you bring those into the portfolio, you've got to offset that risk in some form or fashion, whether it's first line of defense being cash, the next kind of defense being inverse ETFs, and as we've done in our portfolios, intentionally holding decent amount of cash, also using inverse exposure and using kind of the right types of inverse exposure. In the past, we've when our portfolios were kind of more geared towards the NASDAQ, for example, right, we'd use something like a PSQ to give us some inverse exposure to the overall NASDAQ market. And in this instance, right now that we've got, kind of what we refer to kind of as your old commodity names, or we joke around and talk about the dirty stocks, then you're going, we're using more SH, for example, which is going to is the inverse of the S&P 500, or even DOG, which is going is an inverse Dow holding. So, given the fact that those names that we hold in kind of your old economy, they're going to be more correlated or tied to the S&P 500 or the Dow. So, anytime you're bringing on these, the energy patch has been the place to be, but anytime you're bringing those names into the mix, you also know that you're inherently bringing a bit more volatility in both directions, good and bad, right? We love upside volatility. We're only concerned with the down half of that volatility. But so what we kind of continue to look at is, okay, what's the, you know, what are the, you know, continued tailwinds, right, or headwinds for particular commodities, specifically oil and gas at this point. And a bit of the last couple of months, right, was kind of some headwinds from the from China lockdowns, right? Essentially, about 1 million barrels a day demand was kind of has been lost with the Chinese lockdowns, and as they continue to kind of remove some or part of those oppressive restrictions, their demand is going to increase. And then, as we mentioned already, we've got 10 states here over $5 a gallon, prices to continue to rise at the pump. So from a supply standpoint, we look at where's the additional supply going to come from, right? And then on the demand side, right? Where's the demand coming from? Of course, China reopening improves demand, so that's going to, all else being equal, is going to be a tailwind for the price of oil. And as supply either remains the same and or decreases, right? That's also a tailwind for oil and gas. And so, Bill mentioned yesterday, we've got some comments from the CEO of Mike Wirth from Chevron, where he sees no room for any refinery capacity increases. Also believes that we'll likely never see a new oil refinery built in the U.S. I believe we haven't had one built since the 1970s. So hard to argue with his take on it. And he highlights, of course, government regulation and inhibiting that investment to actually build a new refinery. I think likely what we've done during this time is expand the current refineries that we already had in place. Some other kind of notes we look at in terms of, how we're gauging, supply, of oil is, we've always got the Baker Hughes, drilling rig survey, which actually came out, at the end of the week last week, on Friday. And, essentially, drilling rigs remain flat. You've got, whereas they've actually increased 59% year over year. But, at least currently, right, in light of, $115, $120 oil, just under $120 at the moment, drilling rigs have, remained unchanged. Rigs in the Permian Basin, remained unchanged here in the U.S. So, we don't see a lot of additional supply coming online, at least at the moment, here in the U.S., which, of course, bad for our gas prices at the pump, good for the oil and gas names that we own within our portfolios. Russian outlook, Chevron CEO also discussed about Russian oil output likely never, long-term decline likely, not getting back to where it was. I mean, you can go back to Iran and Venezuela, look at those producers that have had, come under significant sanctions over the years, and essentially it's degrades their capacity to produce over time, and that's kind of the likely scenario for Russia at this point, because you've had so many, whether it's BP, Chevron, Exxon, Shell, right? A lot of those folks have pulled out their production capacity there, and you don't really see them adding that back, certainly not any time in the near future. The next kind of place for increased supplies, of course, is OPEC Plus. Problem there is they really haven't, even when they do increase their targets, and they just recently said they were going to raise their output from you know, to 648,000 barrels a day in July and August. They were at, you know, we're going to increase it, you know, basically they're 432,000 barrels. So you're going to increase it 200,000 barrels a day. But the problem there is, you know, the likelihood of them hitting those quotas, or you know, they haven't been hitting those quotas. So the fact is they're likely not going to hit those. You know, you even have unrest in Libya. I saw where one of their largest oil fields was started back, and then it was shut down again because gunmen stormed the field and kind of forced the workers to quit working. So, you know, just around the globe, we don't, you know, you don't see a lot of places where, you know, where we're going to get more supply from. So, from a you know, oil price standpoint, and one of the reasons we're comfortable holding some oil, you know, continuing to hold outsized names, in the energy patches for that particular reason. Supply certainly seems constrained and likely will be going forward. But we're kind of blazing through the show this morning, and we're done with the third segment, and we'll be back here for the fourth quarter here in just a moment with Best Stocks Now.
You got to know where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, handling the duties for Bill on this Tuesday morning. And from a market standpoint, and like I said, when we came back from the previous segment, the market's kind of made a bit of an about face, and Dow's actually positive now. S&P's up 0.3%, and the Nasdaq's up 0.68%, and I think tied to, looks like I think it's tied a bit to certainly to interest rates when it comes to the Nasdaq. We've got the 10-year Treasury yesterday was above 3% again. That's obviously, as we've hit home a number of times, not great for the market. And just seeing it, you know, psychologically seeing it above that 3% level, you know, not good for those long duration stocks or bonds. And there's been a bit of a pullback now. It's roughly 2.97. I think I've seen it as far down as 2.96 on the 10-year. So I think for whatever reason, we've got the 10-year kind of getting back below that 3% range, and the market's kind of reacted accordingly there. One kind of big news we've got, you know, get this week, and it's always kind of always gets a lot of hype regardless of what they've got coming out on the horizon. But I think one of the stocks to feature this morning is Apple. Of course, the chart's not hasn't looked great in terms of forward PE ratio valuation side of things. Has looked pretty attractive at a sub 24 forward PE ratio, and certainly for a company that's proven that they have plenty of margin expansion to play with in light of kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum of a Target, for example. But its charts looks to have put in kind of a bit of a bottom, and is starting to look a bit more attractive. We certainly still own it in our dividend growth and premier growth portfolios, but they're in their developer conferences. Kind of the news, at least on the front end of this week. Later this week, we'll get the CPI inflation numbers for May, and so that narrative will kind of take over. I would imagine as soon as the majority of this conference kind of wraps up. But just some kind of interesting things on the horizon. from Apple. We've got, of course, their iOS 16 launch coming. That launch is going to, has a part of the iPad and also some of their all of our iPhones. The watch, which the wearables piece has been a huge portion of growth for them. iOS 9 for the watch. And then from a services perspective, they've got some updates on some ways they're increasing payments. They're going to do some pay over time, transactions, which I believe Affirm kind of took a pretty decent hit yesterday because of the fact that Apple is going to allow a pay over time, essentially interest free feature going forward, which that's part of their services business. I always think it's interesting if you break Apple apart, the iPhone and kind of hardware side of things is, makes up roughly about, 50% probably of the, a little bit more than 50% maybe of Apple's total revenue. Of course, the iPhone used to make up, a much, much larger portion of their total revenue. And so, in the past, how iPhone sales went was how Apple went. But, nowadays, whether it's wearables between the watch, AirPods, the services side of things, whether it's, the cloud side of the business or the app side of the business. I've also heard that they may end up getting the NFL ticket contract, which would be, historically, right, it's been with DirecTV. So that could boost the kind of the Apple TV Plus subscribership. When I wrote an article a few years ago now on Apple, I think the wearables, if you break it apart, I think the wearables business was, part of almost like, Fortune 400 company, by itself. So, they've got, certainly a diverse, product line nowadays. And of course they integrate it all together. We joke around, we'll be in the car traveling and we end up all talking, there's five of us in the car and Christina and the three kids and we start talking about how many Apple devices we have in the car. And we get into the double digits real quick between watches and iPads and, phones and everything else, AirPods, for the kids in the back. But, I think it's worth taking a look, just at the levels that they're at right now where, could be, certainly a more of a longer term value play. And if inflation continues to, hit margins, they're a business that it certainly is much more, much easier, for them. And we accept it, in terms of passing on that, higher prices to us. So, it's just something worth looking at as they continue to announce. They've got some new VR headset, that's going to come out at some point, right? What's that going to do in regards to the metaverse and everything that revolves around that whole space? So, just certainly think it's worth taking a look and kind of one of those stocks that is always in front of us, but at least we kind of pass over it sometimes and take it for granted, but certainly worth taking a look at. And, of course, any of these ideas or, if you want to take a look at our ideas and some of the holdings that we have within our portfolios, you can certainly getting the newsletter is a good place to start. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, sign up for 4 weeks of the newsletter. You'll get, you'll get to, kind of see the full Monty, if you will, in terms of everything we own within there. Or, you're welcome to give us a call. Give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. And, we certainly, thank you for, listening to today. And we'll be, back here tomorrow with, another edition of Best Stocks Now. Have a great one, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.